That song was called Forever. Amen. He told me he had a new song called Forever. I like that word, tell you what. It's not something temporary we have. It's forever. We have a forever God. Praise the Lord. Boy, you know, a lot of gods, Don, have come and gone. You know, all those Greek mythology gods and all those gods you read about in the Old Testament. You know, Chemosh and Ashtoreth and all those. They're come and gone. But our God reigns and he's doing very well. Well, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 10. I want to continue part 2 of the message this morning. Our health and safety is not God's greatest concern for us. And I'm just trying to prepare us for life in general, but also this coronavirus thing we're dealing with has really just upset a lot of people. You see them everywhere, I'm sure you do. Of course, people of faith, I think, are doing better than people without faith. But these are some numbers from this afternoon. I got a total 1,728,251 around the world have died. Now, out of the 7,800,000 people who are on earth, that means 99.9998% of the world's population have not died from the coronavirus. In the United States, 343,116 have died out of 340 million. And so that's about 1%. New York State, 23,282 have died out of 19,450,000. That's, again, about 99.99-something percent of New Yorkers have not died. All right? So just get the numbers of deaths and divide it into, it's just math, it's just data, it's just facts. There's an old saying, facts are stubborn things. And these numbers are extremely low. Now, I still have respect for the virus, but I don't fear it. I haven't feared it for 1 second since I heard the word in the English language. I still don't fear it. If I get it, I get it. I'm not careless. I mentioned that this morning. I'm not reckless. I don't go down the road on bald tires in the snow at 90 miles an hour and I just don't do that. I change my tires once a year. I change my tires if they even look a little bit down. As winter approaches, September or October, Pastor Cole is buying tires. And so I'm very careful, but just do the facts, okay? Just get the data, get your calculator out, and just look at the facts, all right? Look at the facts, and please don't be like, you know, thinking this thing's killing everybody, and it's not. It's just, I've said this many times before, the news media has to use fear to get people to watch them. They have to. They have to. Because they make money by getting people to watch them, an audience, and then the advertisements on that audience. And they use fear, they use sensationalism, and please don't get sucked into it. It's just the oldest trick in the book. Just take the number of deaths in the world, the population, 7.8 trillion, a billion people, a trillion, and then take the population of New or America, 340 million. Is it million? I got them right here. 7,800,000,000 people on Earth, yeah. 340 million Americans. 340. All right. And then, yes, and then 19,450,000 New Yorkers. Jeez, just get the numbers, and then they're posting the deaths every day. They're posting the deaths. And by the way, the deaths are inflated. Okay, they're also showing us that there are some that are just writing down those that on death certificates, because they got to write something down. And I don't know how many. There's no way we can know how many. But those numbers are not all as high as they say they are. So just do the math and give yourself some peace and some calmness in your soul. And again, I'm not reckless. I'm not careless. And we've tried here as a church too to have safety and care. And there are people on extreme ends of any subject who are extremely over here. And I have found as a pastor, it is not possible to please everybody. There are some that we will never do enough to protect ourselves from the virus. And there's others that are they're saying, hey, what's the deal here? Let's get going here. So I'm going to try not to talk about the virus, but again about the Bible. And I'm trying to prove that spiritual things are far more important to God than physical things like health and safety and riches and wealth. All right? Spiritual things are so far more important, and we'll give you some more examples tonight. And to me, it's Bible 101. This virus thing is just kind of like, I don't know what's going on. It almost seems preparatory to prophecy being fulfilled in the future. And I've just been surprised at how easily the people of this world could be controlled by the media and science and the medical field. And boy, they are just so radically divided on this. It's so hard to understand. But notice verse 10 here. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:10. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. We went through very quickly this morning in chapter 11 the sufferings of the Apostle Paul in his body physically. 2 Corinthians 11, I read it this morning. Verse 24, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Twice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. And this, the day he was saved, God said, he's my chosen servant. He's going to be my pattern for all Christians to follow. Besides Christ, we have a human pattern, Paul. And he would be the one that God would use to write half of the New Testament. And you can just see by this, and you got to read down through verse 33, we didn't, that Paul's health and safety was not God's greatest concern. When you get down through chapter 11, you go into chapter 12, and that's the famous chapter about his health. His body, and how the scripture says in verse 7 of the next chapter, if you want to look at it, 12:7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that were given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so 3 times he prayed. So he goes from all of those hazards and imprisonments and weariness and painfulness and watchings and hunger and thirst and cold and nakedness and fasting and all those things of chapter 11. And then in the next chapter he says, then Satan got me. And there was a messenger from Satan put in my body to humble me for the rest of my life because of the visions that I had seen, or at least what I had heard in heaven. And then he goes from chapter 11 right into chapter 12, and so I prayed 3 times about it, and God said no. And God's answer was, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul says something that probably very few people have ever repeated honestly. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, there is something in God's plan for us that is so far more important than our health and our safety, and that is that God, that is spirituality, and that we could have the power of God on our life. And yes, there's a God in heaven who sometimes, because his thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts, will let a person be sick all their life so they'll depend on him and trust in him, and his tremendous power will flow through them. Therefore, I take pleasure. I mean, you'd lock this guy up in a psych ward if he said this nowadays. Verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Do you understand tonight that God, that our health and our safety is not God's greatest concern for us? Go to the next book, chapter number 4, Galatians 4, verse number 15. He said, where is that blessedness you spoke of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Now, I don't know what that means. But I know this, that almost every letter he wrote, he didn't manually write it. The Holy Spirit gave him the words, and it was dictated to others who wrote on his behalf, except to the Galatians. He said, you see how large of a letter I have written to you. That doesn't mean it's large in content, but it was large in print. He used big letters because there was something wrong with his eyes, something so horribly wrong with his eyes that people felt so sorry they wished there was some way they could pluck their own eyes and give them to him. Look at chapter 6 and verse 17. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, did he ever. The condition of his body was not God's greatest concern for him. But somehow with all those beatings, 195 times he was whipped, 3 times with rods and 3 shipwrecks. We only know of one of them, and all those things we talked about this morning, all those things that he went through, it was very obvious to us. It should be Bible 101 that health and safety is not the greatest concern God has for any of his children. But our spiritual well-being is what's important. Spiritual power, and it is given in the behalf. Look at Philippians, go there, chapter 2 books over, chapter 1 and verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. You see, when Paul was talking to the Ephesian church, and he was about ready to leave. Remember that great discourse? And I can read this for you. It's Acts chapter 20. And here's the problem right here. Here's what's different between Paul and us right here. Here it is right here. American Christians, listen up. This is where we struggle. Listen to this statement. Acts 20, 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. See, that's the difference between Christianity and Americans. We value our lives too much. And that's not scriptural. He said, these things don't move me. All these threats on my life, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Sadly, one of the dearest things to most American Christians is their life. Not to Paul. That's called worldliness. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And that's where we are as Americans. We value our lives too much. Our lives are too dear to us. But that's not how it was with Jim Elliot. We talked about him this morning. And what he went through And when he was down there in Ecuador, that's it. Jim Elliott, Nate Saint, Ed McCulley, Roger Yauderian, and Pete Fleming, five missionaries were speared to death on January the 8th, 1956. They had been there several times to the Auca Indians in Ecuador, and they had felt they were starting to make some inroads, flying planes over, dropping gifts out of the planes, talking to the chief. They were starting to make some inroads. Those five finally approached them in the river there at that day. Some of you have seen the pictures and everything, and the whole town came out, the men with spears, and killed them all. Killed all five of them. Made all the news, broadcast here in America, Time Magazine, everything. And basically the news was, what a bunch of fools these guys are. What a bunch of stupid fools. They have wives, they have children to do that. Well, some of their wives went back to the Indians and led them to Christ. And there are churches of Jesus Christ still in that area today because they laid down their lives as martyrs. And there have been thousands, and like I said this morning, and I don't want to be too repetitious for time, but there have been thousands, probably, there's probably not a missionary anywhere around this globe today who has not been influenced by the bravery and the courage of those five men. And the compassion of their wives to go back to the very people that killed their husbands and lead them to Christ. It's unbelievable. What an unbelievable story. I told you this morning, I think one of those men in the 1950s was a guy named Jack Wood. And when he and his wife heard about the death of these missionaries in Ecuador, they came down, and Brother Ben Shutt was telling us the story this morning, they came down and knelt at the altar back in the 1950s, and they gave their lives to Christ. And Jack Wood became a pastor, a great pastor in Houston. I heard him preach many times at Old Times Camp Meeting. And led thousands and thousands of people to Christ and helped hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of missionaries get to the mission field, all because some men died who did not count their lives as dear unto them. Like Paul. They didn't value their lives too highly. We do. That's the problem. It's called the pride of life. It's worldly. It's worldly. Am I going to run out and go be a martyr or get a disease or something? No, I'm not going to. You're in Philippians. Look at chapter 2, verse 23. Paul's talking to the Philippians. This is one of his jail epistles. Four epistles were written from jail, prison. Remember he said in prisons oft back in 2 Corinthians 11. Remember that? So he's writing, he's got this guy named Epaphroditus he's trusting. I'm going to skip some of this for time. Verse 25, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion, labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants, for he longed after you all and was in heaviness because that you had heard that he had been sick. Now keep that statement in mind for a few verses. For indeed he was sick. How sick? Nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. And now please, as I read verse 30, please remember these are the words of the Holy Ghost. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service towards me, or that your lack of an opportunity to help me. Boy, we don't have that spirit today. Some do. But because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death. Why did he get sick? Or why was he almost dead? Because he got so sick. In verse 26, how sick was he? Verse 27, nigh unto death. Verse 30, nigh unto death. I mean, he was almost a goner. God had mercy in his case and saved him. But why did he get so sick? For the work of Christ. For the work of Christ. That's why he got so sick. Now that's devotion. That's devotion. Does anyone intentionally do that? No. We should be good stewards of the body God has given us. But if somebody gets sick, nigh unto death or almost dies, let us not judge them. Let us not call them fools. You know, Jim Elliot said some things prophetically before he died. You know, God knows everything, and by his foreknowledge, not by his predestination, but by his foreknowledge. Know the difference of that. We have this sign in our men's room around here. It's a picture of Jim Elliot with the plane he was flying over dropping gifts. It has a quote from Jim Elliot. It says right here, Christ needs some young fellows to sell out to him and recklessly toss their lives into his work. Is that prophetic or what? And he's also the one, he made a statement that just profoundly has affected me and continues to affect me. He said, he is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep to give that to receive that which he cannot lose. He's no fool. And he said that before he died. He's no fool who gives up what he can't keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Now you'll see him in heaven. He'll be the guy with the crown of life on his head forever. I mean, a trillion years from now, he'll have a crown of life on his head that's as bright and brilliant as the day Christ gave it to him. And everybody in heaven a trillion years from now will point at him and say, he died for Christ. And that's why our health and our safety is not God's greatest concern for us. In this tiny little vapor of life that we have. And there's so many stories, it's just Bible 101. Think about Job. Ever hear of Job, anybody? Ever hear about Job? Did anybody ever look at Job 1 and Job 2 and say, boy, God's greatest concern for us is our health and safety? Was that the conclusion anyone ever came to by reading that? When that building fell in and killed all 10 of his children in one moment. That's a real story. When all of his business was taken away, and boy, was he a rich man, and just that fast, just like that, God took his whole business, all of his business went away like that, and he was left with nothing. Even his servants were killed. And he loved his servants. He loved his employees. And then he loses his health, and from the crown of his head to the bottom of his feet, he's covered with boils. And the book of Job tells us in two places this went on for months. Man, I've had poison ivy. It's a 21-day sentence if you get poison ivy. I hate that stuff. Months. And God allowed it all. God allowed it all. And somehow in that trial, Job said, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He realized that his spiritual condition was more important to God than his health and his safety and his wealth and his riches and his business. His spiritual. What did God want to teach him? And he had some flaws, even though he was considered so perfect by God himself. He had some flaws like self-righteousness and pride, and God purged that from him, and he became even better man as a result of it. Ever hear of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Has anybody ever read that story and come to the conclusion, boy, our health and safety is God's greatest concern for us, as they were thrown into a fiery furnace? And remember what they said beforehand? They said what I say about the coronavirus. They said, you know, God can deliver us from this, and if he does, fine. If he doesn't, we just want you to know, sir, we're not going to bow down to your idol. We're not bowing down. Whether God saves us or not, I'm not going to be stupid. I'm not going to try to get the virus. But if I do, pray for me. Maybe I'll be like Epaphroditus and maybe I'll be healed. Maybe I'll die. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Boy, they went through that. You ask them in heaven, are you guys glad you went through that? He said, oh yeah, a fourth man joined us in the fire and he was like the Son of God. Wow, what a story. They could have panicked, been paranoid and said, oh, I guess we'll just bow down and just confess this later. They could have done that, right? They could have said, well, let's just bow down, we'll confess the sin later and God will forgive us of this. Right? Could have done that. These young men said, no, we're not going to do that. Did you ever hear of Daniel? Daniel is about 80, 83 years old, according to my calculations. I don't know if I'm right or not, but 83, and he's thrown in a lion's den for praying because a decree went out that nobody was to pray to any god except to the king for 30 days. So he opens his windows wide open, kneels down as he did a four times, three times, and prays towards Jerusalem over to the west. And he gets caught, and they throw him in a lion's den. And I don't think anybody has ever read that story and said, you know, I think his health and safety was God's greatest concern. We know the end of the story. He didn't. You know, there was another time when Daniel was right. This is a less familiar story about Daniel. He's doing God's perfect will. He's doing God's perfect will. And as he's doing God's perfect will, it tells us that God gives him a revelation. And in Daniel 8 and verse 27, it says this about Daniel. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business. And I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. He was sick certain days. Just because God showed him a vision of the last days and he was recording it and he was just doing God's will, transmitting the word of God, and he fainted and was sick certain days. Go through the scriptures and you'll see how many times people have gotten sick while doing the will of God. Why are those things in the Bible? Think about Esther. She didn't get sick, but boy, she was such a woman of courage that she knew she had to go up to the king. And she said to her cousin Mordecai, if I perish, I perish. A young, beautiful woman. Very young, very beautiful. And she said, if I perish, I perish. But I'm going to go before the king and I'm going to ask him to save the Jewish race. And her cousin Mordecai before that said, now if you don't do this, God will figure out some other way to do it. Because the Jews are an everlasting nation. But she said, no, I'll do it. I'll do it. And if I perish, I perish. Esther 4 and verse 16. What about James, who was killed with the sword? What about John the Baptist, who about age 30, 31, was killed by an executioner that went into his prison cell and cut his head off, and Herodias' daughter comes and brings out his head on a charger and presents it to Herod. What about those that are mentioned as great men and women of the faith in Hebrews 11 and verse 36? And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. It doesn't look like their comfort and their health and their wealth and their life was the most important thing to God. But there they are listed in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11. Some of these things are just gruesome. They were sawn asunder. That's where they carved out trees and they put a Christian in and then they sawed the tree down the middle and cut the Christian in half, and the skins of goat skins that Brother Garraway talked about, where the skins were wrapped around them wet, and as they dried, they shrank and suffocated the person, and they'd take them out to the wild, and the wild animals would be there and they'd be like this trying to get away, and the wild animals would attack them and eat them.
Does it sound like to us that our health and safety is God's greatest concern? See, God is forever. And we just think this tiny, dinky little blip on the screen of a computer called our life, this vapor that appears for a while and disappears, is so wonderful. Our lives are so dear to us. But God is like, no, I would rather use your life and your death for the glory of God. And not many of us are ever called to be a martyr. But Brother Garraway said, every 5 minutes, there is a martyr for Jesus Christ on the face of this earth today. Today. And if you read the Voice of the Martyrs, that was a ministry started by Pastor Richard Wormbrand, who was in Romania, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, he was tortured for 8 years and then imprisoned after for 5 more years. There's a book called Tortured for Christ about his life. And yet, through that was birthed the ministry of Voice of the Martyrs, which is a profound blessing and challenge to the body of Christ today. To anyone who's ever read it. Now, we're just so safe and secure here in America, we can't think this way. And I don't know whether things will ever get worse for us or not. They probably will, but boy, God has blessed our country. I hope you don't take that for granted. I hope you just pause tomorrow and thank God for the men and women who died. For our freedoms, boy, are we free. Wow. Even this quarantine's been a joke compared to the rest of the world. Been a joke. We have it so easy. Romans 16, 3 and 4 says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ, who have for my life laid down their necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Paul, it is mentioned by Luke, this testimony about Paul and Barnabas. And this was brought out by Brother Garraway quite a few times this week. In Acts 15, verses 25 and 26, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can go on and on tonight. I got more examples here, but I just want to get to Christ here in closing. Turn over to the book of Mark. Turn to the book of Mark, chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. What about Jesus? He hazarded his life for us. He never for a minute thought that health and safety were the most important things in his life. Now, what about health? Yeah, God heals us of our diseases. He's made us miraculous healing machines, our bodies. He's given us elders and Christians to pray over us. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Many of us have experienced that. What about safety? Yes, safety is of the Lord. There's been so many times where it seems like God has intervened and kept us safe when we've had accidents or something. And he's been so good to us. But that's not main things. Spiritual things are main things. And here Jesus prophesies and says these words, and they shall mock him, verse 34, and scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. Do you know if you spit on someone in America, that's the same as if you punch somebody, you're going to get charged with a felony? Yeah. But Jesus told his disciples, look, I'm going to Jerusalem. They're going to spit on me. Look at Mark 14, verse 65. Mark 14:65. And some began to spit on him. Look at Mark 15:19. Mark 15:19. And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him. This is our Lord. This is our Savior. He prophesied they're going to spit on me, and then two different occasions they spit on him before he was crucified. Plus they pressed the crown of thorns in his head. They draped his head with a garment, and they beat him over the head while he had the crown of thorns on with a reed. It's like a baseball bat. They struck him with his hands also, and they said, prophesy, which one of us was it that smote you? They flogged him on his back. They made him carry his cross up the hill. They pierced his hands and pierced his feet, and they pierced his side. And he hung there for almost 9 hours on the cross in thirst and in pain and in agony and with the weight of the world's sin on his shoulders. Brethren, I don't know how anybody can read the Bible and come with the conclusion that health and safety is God's greatest concern for us. I'm not careless, and as a pastor, I'm going to try not to be careless. But I want you to know tonight, it's very, very obvious to me, just from conversations today, I can't please everybody. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. And I say to you again in love, if you feel there's any danger to your health by coming to this church, please feel free to stay home and watch on live stream or stay in the parking lot in the back. But Christianity is a religion of risks. We're not going to take risks intentionally, but we're going to risk our lives to try to save some sinners around here from going to hell. We're going to open up the church. We're going to let sinners come in and try to reach them. This coronavirus, which is affecting less than 0.001% of the world in death, is not going to change Christianity here at the Faith Bible Baptist Church. It's not going to. Not for numbers that small. We are going to, I hope some of us that are devoted to Christ, though we'll be called fools, will risk our lives and hazard our lives, not only for Christ, but it says here for our own necks. And we're going to try to be balanced. We'll try to be safe. We'll try to be careful. But I'm going to give you that option for months. You're going to hear me say that. You know, if you got any concerns, stay home. We're not going to judge you. I'm not going to feel any different about you. And I'm going to love you. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the Son of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Well, there's a lot more here I wanted to say. A lot more examples in the scripture, too, where it's just obvious. It's just obvious that this temporary life of ours is not God's greatest concern. But our spiritual well-being, our fruitfulness to reach souls and to somehow, as Paul said, magnify God in my body, whether it be by life or by death. But here's what I do want to ask you in the last couple minutes. Watch this. This is pride. This is opinions. When pride joins itself to an opinion, we can become very unchristian. And it is my duty to warn you that that is one of the devices of the devil, is to take a tiny little issue that we have an opinion about, to mix it with our pride, and to blow up a church on, I'm a vegetarian, I eat meat, I celebrate Christmas, I don't celebrate Christmas, whatever it might be. As I look at the numbers, this coronavirus is an extremely small thing. Extremely small. I can't believe it's come to this point in this world. The projections were not even close. Back then, during the projections, I said, wow, we gotta be careful here, and we still do. But this is so small and infinitesimal compared to the cause of Christ. The cause of Christ. And I want to encourage you, and it's obvious to me that there are people in this church who are so vastly differed on their opinions about this issue. I'm begging you and beseeching you, for Christ's sake, don't affect the church by your opinions. Let's have a higher cause. Christianity, the religion of risks. Let's reach souls while we can. And even hazard our lives, give our lives. Do not count our lives dear unto us. Let me close in prayer. And then on the live stream, we'll have Junior Church for those that are watching. Our Heavenly Father, help us. Oh, Lord God Almighty, thank you for the millions and millions of martyrs down through the ages. Dear Lord, I heard about one in Haley's book, 1 5-month period during the Inquisition, when 900,000 Christians were killed because they would not bow to Mary or to the Pope or to the Catholic Church. Almost 1 million in 5 months. Thank you for their devotion. Thank you, Lord, so much for the martyrs. Thank you for the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament figures who didn't count their lives dear to them, men and women. And now, Lord, as we face this strange times, oh God, I'm just asking that we'd think biblically and humbly, that we'd be careful and safe as much as we can, but not to change Christianity for this. We can't, Lord, we can't. God, help us. Help us to even understand what you're trying to say, and help us as we go forward as a church. I pray fruitful days would be ahead. Now bless those watching the Junior Church, especially the children, grandchildren, and this week coming up. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.